Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of 10 Down with Terry and David. I'm listening to my voice in the headset and it sounds like I'm quite hoarse.
Yeah, you're not hoarse. You're bunged up. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to 10 Down with Terry and David. I'm full of energy because I wasn't drinking on the weekend. You were, David. Tell us all about it.
Well, I think my voice was probably gone from laughing so much. I did laugh a lot. But the house, the aircon seemed to be running constantly.
Oh, so for those
it was very, very hot still over in Portugal, by the way.
Tune in to last week's episode of 10 Down. David went over to Portugal with his friends and they had a whale of a time.
It was definitely wasn't as wild as normal. As in terms of wildness, it wasn't as wild as normal. We spent a lot of time. We cancelled two dinner reservations because really? We just wanted to chill at the villa.
And what did you do for food? I haven't heard any of this, by the way.
We just went down to the marina. There was no point in going in the car and driving to a restaurant. We were like, let's just chill.
And just go down local.
Just go down and walk.
So was it in Villa Moura?
Yeah.
Your villa. Yeah, like you probably had like bamboo and stuff booked, did you?
We had the Cheeky Pup and we had the pizza restaurant.
That's next all the way up in Val de Lobo.
Exactly. Like. First night we went to Maria's. Yeah. Remember Maria's?
Yeah.
Which was a 15-minute taxi away. And then the next day we were at the beach club and then we cancelled the dinner after the beach club, which we're so glad we did. And then the next day we had the boat and then cancelled dinner after that as well.
And just went to the marina.
And just stayed at the villa. We had a whole day to stay at the villa then. Otherwise it felt like we were just coming and going. But it was still very, very hot. We had a beautiful, beautiful house. So remember the house that we used to rent?
Yeah.
That we've rented twice?
Mm-hmm.
It was on the same strip of golf course as that.
Oh.
But on the opposite side.
On the opposite side, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it was great. We haven't seen my friend, our friend Jack, since it's been nearly 5 years.
Yeah.
And he's mad as ever. And then Sam, who's also one of our good friends, hasn't seen Jack since our wedding.
So 7 years.
Yeah.
Oh my God, David, that's wild.
Yeah, but no, it was great. I have taken this very conscious decision that because we spoke about it, if anyone that hasn't missed out on last week's episode, we spoke about it when we were at the weekend. We had such a small amount of alcohol compared to the way we felt, like judging by the way we felt.
Yeah, we spoke last week on 10 Down on the podcast how David was sober curious.
Yeah.
And he was a bit anxious about going away. So like you didn't come home dying, in fairness. No. Like you've come home in a hoop.
I woke up every day.
Fresh.
Like I woke up, I was like my body clock woke me up at 5:30, 6:00.
Yeah.
But I was in bed, the latest I was in bed was I think it was 1:30, 2:00 over the 3 nights.
So you're basically a granddad now.
Yeah.
Granddad fits.
But I woke up feeling fine. And I was so glad for it. I was very conscious of it. Every time I was having a drink, I was having a glass of water. And then when we did go out for dinner, I was drinking 7-Up through, like every second or third drink, I was having a 7-Up.
So you're basically a bar bastard now.
Okay, would you be fair if I did the opposite? Jesus Christ.
I'm only joking. No, that's good. It's good when you're not absolutely writing yourself off. But like we were talking about last week, I feel like kind of past that now. Like I'm going away with the girls in September and I just know we're going to go absolutely mental. Like mental. And we'll come back wrecked and need a trip away. Like, but
it's been a long time since you've been in a really bad, in terms of hungover.
Are you? Yeah.
As in hungover.
I think when it was Christmas, remember we went out and with Barry and Nicole.
Yeah.
That was my last really bad hangover.
Oh, when we were in town.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, last one. But like, it was the same on Sydney. I feel like if I have one drink since I had Miles, I am absolutely bananas. Like after one drink, not absolutely bananas, but like I feel it. Whereas before I could have had one drink and I was grand. Do you know what I mean? So like over the past year, I just feel like I've gotten drunk really quick. So I have to kind of watch myself. But there's a couple of times where I've been like bananas. Like, do you know what I mean?
But you're not waking up the next day hanging.
No, I never really do though, because I drink tequila.
That's what I mean. But like my ChatGPT and my algorithm on socials are obviously linked. Because all it's now showing me is people that like in their 40s and 50s that are like
just giving up.
They're like, enough is enough.
Yeah,
you know.
But I told you that
I've partied for 20 years.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
so
if not more. Like I think I had my first nugget of vodka when I was 15 in a field.
This is in no way of an encouragement, by the way.
No, absolutely not. St. Patrick's Day, me and Eve McGoldrick down the field. Where are we? The Nafina in Finglas.
If I ever caught Sydney in a field, I'll kill her.
Yeah, we were up to no good. No good, let me tell you. But yeah, look, I get it. I totally get it. And I fully support you. Mm-hmm. Like, I think do whatever makes you feel good. And like, if it was me feeling the way that you're feeling, I would absolutely feel the same. Now, don't get me wrong. I feel lately, I'm like, I could go off the drink as well. Like, but I'm a little devil. Like I'm like, no, I'm off it. And then I see my friends and I'm like, yeah, and I just want to get giddy with them. Do you know what I mean? That's why I don't say I'm off the drink. But like, you know that we go like 6, 7, 8 weeks sometimes without.
Longer.
Yeah. And like, but we go on holidays, we don't drink. Like, it's not
that's
like.
That's the ultimate test, by the way.
What?
Is like, as you know, this year, we've done a lot of traveling for work and then, but the ultimate test, I believe, like whatever being about being on a cruise and it's all inclusive and there's food and drink being handed to it and you're like, no, thank you, I'll just have a 7-Up. Whereas I think the ultimate test is going away with your friends. And not drinking. Yeah.
But that's if you want to be, that's why I'm like, I'm not saying I'm going sober because I love nothing more than sitting there like a pack of witches over our drinks. Like it's a cauldron.
A pack of witches.
Like we're sitting there and we're like, nah, 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 and we're just talking and we're messing. And I love the buzz. Like, but equally, I could do that probably once or twice a year and I'd be happy. Like we're definitely not a household that like drinks. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I do like
our
that
life doesn't revolve around.
Yeah,
it
yeah. And I do like that about us. But like equally, if you like to have a drink on a Friday night with your husband, more power to you. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well,
We love an early night
because we only get early mornings. As we know, we now have a family of five.
I'm laughing, we love an early night, and then like there's the two of us feral last week, like, you know. But that's the thing, like I think it's important to have balance and I think that's what we have. But even at that, you're not happy, like you're not enjoying it, like you're not waking
I'm
up
not,
feeling good.
No, because we spoke about it a couple of times, like very briefly, is that I know I just said there about the ultimate test. Back in May of this year, probably earlier, maybe March, I went on a lads trip to Roscommon, remember?
Yeah.
Was it Roscommon
I went
for 2 nights? And I, over the 2 nights, probably had 4 beers.
They're a different group of lads, so to your friends from up north. And that's like me with different groups of friends.
As I was sipping my drinks with them, I was like, I am not enjoying this. So I just stopped.
Stopped, yeah. Anyway, we spoke about this last week, so let's swiftly move on from pointing out the fact that we are now boring bastards.
Well, I tell you what, Terry, right, you can cut this bit out if you want, or I'll probably tell you to cut it out, right? Because you've asked me, would I be talking about it, right? It's smack of reality for me was this morning sitting in the hospital.
Oh, we're going there.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about
while it's fresh on my mind.
So, I didn't think you'd want to share it so soon, but yeah. Do you want to tell them how you found out or what's going on, Dave?
So how do you give a quick synopsis of this?
For David's 40th, I got him a blood test because...
What a present, Terry. What a present. An expensive present.
Yeah, I like to do a full NCT on my loved ones. Got a blood test for David and we did it with Paula from the Blood Hub. She's brilliant. And he had the full sports one. So basically it does a full NCT on you. So it checks like everything from your hormones to your ferritin levels, from your FBC, LFT, UNEs, like everything. It's great. And he had that done and it came back when we were on holidays. We got the results and I swear to God, I'll never forget it. I was actually sitting at a pool and Sydney was playing with this Irish family. We're in Mallorca. And Sydney was playing with this Irish family and she was carrying on with them. But I got the results as I was sitting there and I couldn't even function. Do you know what I mean? Because I just seen all the red and like, I'm a nurse and like, I know what everything means. But when I seen all the reds, I'm giving your mom's history. My soul left my body for a few minutes and David was off walking around. And then I kind of had to compose myself and read it properly. Because I couldn't, my eyes were wobbling. Do you know, do you ever get like...
Your brain was telling you you're getting rid of them quicker than you're hoping.
So it's like, is my life insurance good?
Thanks.
But so you came back and your iron levels are high and a couple of your other hormones, which is a separate issue. But iron level was high and then we came home. When we came home, we had them repeated and then they came back still as high. And then David had to get genetic testing for a hemochromatosis, which is a blood disorder that actually a lot of Celtic people have it because of the famine. So basically we store too much iron, but it can have really bad consequences. So it's linked with pancreatic and liver cancer, because basically you've got a buildup of iron sitting in these organs. It doesn't do them any good, just to put it in layman's term. Doesn't do them any good. And later on down the right road, if you don't get it treated, then you can end up with liver or pancreatic cancer. So David had to have... Do you want to tell the story?
Clearly you're telling the story. You're in your element here, throwing out all the big words that absolutely... like.
It's not big words. But yeah, basically he had a liver...
Say hemochromatosis six times very fast, Terry, with three crackers in your mouth.
it's basically a very treatable blood disorder. So, and it's common enough. Okay, and I was telling Dave, apparently. I used to see all the old men coming in with their pins, because basically the treatment of it is to have blood... taken off you. It's called a venesection. So they have you go in, you have blood taken off you, and over a period of time, when everything's stable, you can actually donate blood, which is bloody ironic.
How ironic is that? So Terry's been asking me for donkey's years, you know,
since your mom passed away.
Yeah, would you not start thinking about donating blood, blood, blah blah blah, because
your mom, my mom
at the time, needed blood.
She needed blood to survive. And like I've been saying to her, I was like, it's an absolute crime that you don't go in and donate blood. Like, I was like, you need to donate blood. And he's like, yeah. So but I've been at it for 7 years.
This is probably a stupid question. If I decided before I'd done this test, if I decided I wanted to start donating blood, say 3 or 4 years ago,
It would have been detected 3 or 4 years ago, because when you go in to donate blood,
they have
check
to test you first. Yeah.
They check your iron.
Okay. Anyway, look, you're probably wondering why I'm talking about this, is because this morning when I was sitting there and I was watching like the room, I think there was 10 chairs. And nobody likes walking through hospital wards, like, and then you're putting into a room. But I was watching, it was all older people, me. And then I think one or two of them finished before me, and then two lads come in that were roughly around my age, and it kind of dawned on me, like something that you've said, is that imagine they were given, I don't know what they were in there for, but imagine they were given an earlier kick up the ass to go and get themselves checked, like what I should have done.
Yeah, we
or all listened.
Need to be proactive.
Without getting, because we don't necessarily have as much time on this, but I suppose maybe someone that's listening is in the same position as I am. Maybe they could let us know where they're at, how far on they are, and
it's not a huge like David, obviously you have a little bit of PTSD from your mom, and your dad had very poor health when you were younger, so David gets really panicky when it comes to hospitals, especially the feckin' hospital that
Hospital that I'm going,
last week, like, you know, the same hospital that your mom passed away in, and he has a bit of anxiety around it, but like I have to keep redirecting it and being like, it's fine, it's grand, it's da-da-da. But sorry, the main thing is that you were sitting in that chair today, which I was on my way to go into you, by the way.
I don't think you would have been able to come in.
Well, I would have waited outside and dropped you in a sandwich or something. But I think the biggest thing is that like that was a big eye opener for you, because obviously they had to check your liver, they had to do a fibro scan to make sure that there was no damage already done, like it was all of that. And then you're like, why the hell would I drink on top of this? Like, do you know what I mean? Why would I do that?
Well, that my ChatGPT, and I keep asking the same bloody questions, and I'm waiting for it to just turn around and go, David, I've answered these questions 5 or 6 times for you. Is that because obviously the liver side of it is where the concern is, which by the way, the scans have gone and come back that everything is fine. There's no issues.
Very early diagnosis.
And then my concern was just that, is alcohol, even at such a small amount, considering like I could have drink probably 3-4 months of a gap between each time I'm having drinks, is that going to make it worse?
No amount of alcohol is safe. Like no amount of alcohol. My point is that
I was away this weekend, just gone. I've done my first venesection today, which is 2 days, say 3 days after my last piece of alcohol, right? Is that they might say to me, your results are X and Y, so I think you need to come back in 3 months' time. Then if I go in 3 months' time and I don't have any alcohol between that, they might say, your next visit is going to be 4 months' time.
No. So...
is the alcohol going
to
make
it... You're confusing it. And stop talking to ChatGPT, right? Alcohol affects your liver, right? Your liver's perfect. Your LFTs are fine and your fibro scan was perfect, right? So park that for the moment. What they're checking you now for each time that you're in there is your hemoglobin and your iron levels. And that's all they're concerned with, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you had that done when you left. Based on those numbers will determine your next venous section.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you have that, the numbers after it will determine the next one and the next one and the next one. And then eventually it'll get to a point where you'll be able to go in and donate blood.
Okay.
And that's it. But that's all they're concerned with, because we've done the checks on your liver and we've done the thing. Now, they might send off an LFT with that. An LFT is your liver function test. They might do that. I don't know what the protocol is. They might just do it for the sake of doing it, to keep an eye on it. But that, you having a drink or a glass of wine is not going to affect your hemoglobin or your iron level.
But what it will affect is my brain and my anxiety. So yeah. stop,
you can see, we've been going around in circles for the last few months. Oh God. But I think I'm actually shocked that you brought it up and that you're talking about it, considering that we had like 15 minutes to record the podcast. But I think it's also good to talk about it, because it is quite a common disease.
Because I tell you, I followed, I hate when you use the word disease, because...
Condition.
Because when the nurse months ago rang me to give me my results,
the doctor,
she had, the language barrier wasn't great, and she used the word disease. And I was like, come again, please don't use the word disease. But I genuinely, when I was sitting there, I felt really sorry for the two fellas to come in that were roughly around my age. I felt really sorry for them.
Because you don't know what they're going through.
Yeah. But I was like, I would have, like, maybe someone else is putting it off about getting their results done and they're listening. Do you get me?
As in someone's putting it off. What are you?
The way I kept putting it off about getting my bloods done.
Yeah. Well, I think the main message that you're trying to say is be proactive with your health. And I'm a huge advocate for that. Like in Ireland, in England, in a lot of places around the world, we're just not as proactive with our health. And we fucking need to be, because unfortunately the healthcare system here is brutal. Like, I had my smear done recently, right? And cervicalcheck.ie suggests that you have it done every 5 years. However, when I was in Australia, I was given timelines of when I need to have my cervix checked because I have a history. So I went to the GP recently and I said, hello. I was like, I'm here. I have to get my smear test done. And she was like, oh, you're not due it for until January coming. And I was like, no, I'm going by what I was told in Australia, because that's what keeps me sane. That's what keeps my head straight, because I went through a lot with that. Like,
yeah.
And
you did talk about it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did share a little bit of it online, but I was told it wasn't due until January and that the smear will be discarded and they won't run it. And I was like, look, I understand screening and I understand that. I was like, but like, can I pay for it? And she was like, oh, I'll have to run it by like the lead doctor in the practice. And I was like, I am here proactively, a mother of two.
Wanting to get checked.
With a history, trying to get checked, and you're making it really difficult. And it kind of boils my blood that a lot of women experience that. And I have so many examples of my friends going in. One of my friends had a GP appointment and while she was there, she's like, come here, actually, I found this lump. Would you mind checking it? She was like, the GP said to her, oh, like, you know, you'll have to make another appointment. I don't have time to check that. And I understand it. I understand that they have slots.
How long does it take?
But exactly, David, right? Exactly. Because they put a 15 minute slot, but sometimes you go in and you're only 5 minutes. You're like, I'm just looking for a prescription for my pill, or I'm just looking for this and da da da. And she was in for a five minute job. And the GP was so dismissive of her and was like, you'll have to make another appointment. I don't have time to check that. And I think stuff like that is really frustrating. And I think, unfortunately, we need to be more proactive with our health. And that's coming from me, a nurse, and somebody who experiences the healthcare system also as a patient and has. And I think you just need to be an advocate for yourself. You need to go get something checked if it's bothering you. And yeah, you have to advocate for yourself, unfortunately, in this country. Like, sorry, I'll probably get cancelled for all that now, but sure, look. Get cancelled for pointing out the feckin' obvious.
Yeah, everyone knows about Terry.
Yeah.
Everyone knows about. So,
anyway.
So this episode, it was going to be very short because we now have to collect our daughter from school.
So we have been absolutely mental with the puppies. What do you think?
They're absolutely gorgeous. And I know the times that you don't, like even this morning.
I appreciate that you cleaned up this morning.
No, but I'm saying when I am doing it, Like I picked them up when I gave them a cuddle. Like even there when I was making a coffee, I was holding one of them.
They're very cute.
They're absolutely gorgeous.
What do you think of Ed?
He's gorgeous, and I love the way he goes off into the garden and like plonks his bum and he sits and watches what you're doing.
Yeah, he's like Jake.
Yeah, like I feel that he'll be like a lone dog. Like he prefers to be on his own.
Yeah.
I have noticed that he's building up a bit of courage now with her, where he gives it back.
Yeah, she's been pestering him. Yeah,
it must be a girl's thing. It must be a sisterly thing.
Oh Jesus, David! But yeah, no, they're so cute. I love them to bits. Like they're just so gorgeous, and I can't believe that we'll be handing them over. Like I have Sydney well prepped though. Like she knows they're going. Like
I seen that on your video this morning. That like it's obviously a bit of reassurance to her that she knows that now where these puppy minders that there'd be another.
Oh, there will. Like just not soon.
Would you
like,
definitely take two again?
I think I'd probably be inclined to take one because the two of them need to be separated, like if you ask me. And I emailed them yesterday about that. Because there's been a couple of times where they've hurt each other. Yesterday she got a hold of his leg and then he was limping after it.
Yeah.
And we see when they're that age, they're messing, but they're also getting agitated then by each other and they're kind of snapping back. That's why they take them away from their mother.
Yeah, yeah.
When they're about 8 weeks, because the mother starts getting annoyed at them and biting them and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do think that they did say they don't recommend people adopting two puppies at the same time because it ends up with one of them being returned.
Right. Okay.
There's a high chance of that happening. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought like, I would have thought they would have settled. And obviously they do, they're going to fight. I thought they would settle a lot easier because they're brother or sister.
Oh no. They fight and they can cause a lot of problems. Like I remember we had a dog years ago, Kong, his name was, and we went on holidays and we sent him back to the mother. We'd only gotten him, I'd say about 2 or 3 weeks, and my dad had the holiday booked. So he sent them back and the dog was never the same when he came back because the mother rejected him.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was fighting with him and the siblings. And he just came back absolutely demented. Like, so you need to watch that, like, because they do pick up bad behaviors from each other. Like earlier on, I was trying to teach them to sit and wait and you can get hold of one of them, but then the other one goes off and then they're copying each other. So it's definitely easier to manage. And at the minute they're sleeping in their crate, but the crate is open because I don't believe in locking dogs into crates. Like I don't know.
They also don't, like or twice we've had to lock it while you just clean the area.
They get so upset.
And they go bananas.
And you know, of course my TikTok is coming up now and people are like, how did you train your dog to stay in the crate? And they're uploading pictures of their dogs trying to bite themselves out of cage. Like
I think they're too young to be trying to train them for that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I don't agree with any dog being locked in any cage. Call it what you want, it's a cage. I don't agree with it. And like I've never gone down a rabbit hole of crate training and stuff like that like I have in the last little while, because obviously like I haven't had a puppy in a long time, but I can't even believe it's a bloody thing. Like I leave that open and I let them roam around and they go back to it and it's their little safe space. And the only reason why I bloody have it in the house is because it was given to me. Do you know that way? Like it was offered to me and I was like, yeah, I'll take it. But over my dead body, any animal be locked into a cage.
Like, I've only used it twice because the first time it was absolutely lashing out and I needed to open the door
for a second,
clean the floor, let the air come in a little bit. But they were, you know, they just keep going at their feet and I have to close them in there while I clean the floor, disinfect the area. Upset. They get really upset.
Yeah.
But I took a photo of them and I added it into ChatGPT and asked it what breed of dog that it was.
Oh, they're spaniels.
And they're a spaniel, but I don't think they're full spaniel because the full spaniel have long droopy ears.
So they're siblings.
Ed has it.
No.
He has the droopy ear. No.
I don't know. I think she's more spaniel than Ed because she's molting as well. He doesn't molt and his hair is shorter. And his day is, it's like him. Like Jake, obviously he molts, like every animal will molt a certain amount, but like he's brilliant. Like terriers are great for that. But he holds onto his fur a lot better than she does. But yeah, I don't get crates. I don't get the whole thing. I just don't get it. I'm like, don't get a feckin' animal if you're going to lock them up. I'll probably be slated for that and people probably do use crates, but for me it's cruel. I just don't understand it. But yeah, they're great. Like I just love them. I just hope wherever they go to like,
I'd hate to see them being returned back again, and I think that's what their biggest problem right now is, where people are taking dogs and then six months down the line they go back.
This might be a good opportunity to say, like, I've had dogs all my life, so have you. I prefer adult dogs, like, and rescuing, like, I do prefer, because they like, no, come here, I die for them puppies, like I love them, but they're a lot of work. And I think people are naive when they get puppies. me and you know what we're getting ourselves into. Like, we've had dogs and puppies before, but I think a lot of people are naive to it. Like there's a lot of work in puppies. They poo, they wee, you have to have them out every half an hour. Like, I'm in there every half an hour, letting them out, bringing them back in, even if it's only for 5 minutes, but you have to do it because you have to teach them when they're weeing. Like, when they're weeing, I say, wee-wees, wee-wees, or toilet, toilet, yay. And like, I'm clapping and I'm making noises so they know when they go out and I make that noise, that it's like positive reinforcement. Like, if you use the same word, it teaches them, oh, when she's saying that, that means wee. And that's how they learn.
And they get fed outside. So they can poo me after they eat.
They poo me after they eat. And then you have to pick up that poo. You have to discard it. We've got a young baby that's crawling around. The floors are getting absolutely annihilated. They're only allowed in the kitchen because...
Because we can't spray onto the wooden floor.
Spray onto the oak floors. Like, and yeah, anyway, look, it's a lot of work. If you're considering adopting, please go for one of the adult dogs that are sitting there months and years, because those puppies will be whipped up. And fingers crossed, whoever takes them loves them. And I hope someone that follows me takes them so they can give me little updates and send me pictures. Anyway, well, we let them go, let people go. That's been this week's episode of 10 Down with Terry and David. Thanks so much for listening. Also, I've just launched my Substack. If you want to give it a little read, head over to Terry McAvoy 1 on Substack. And I did a little reintroduction of myself and I did a little recap of like the last 10 to 11 years. Made me really sad going through all the photos and stuff.
Yeah, that's what you were doing. I'm trying to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah. But yeah, if you want to go over and give it a little read, I will be posting every single week over there, and it's kind of more of a quieter part of the internet for me, and it'll be more kind of like motherhood, parenthood, yeah, all of that, because I feel like that's kind of something that I struggle with sharing on TikTok and Instagram. Yeah, I share elements of it, but I'm always afraid of saying the wrong thing, because you can say the wrong thing. So I figured, let's write it down, review it, and then post it. But it'll be a little bit less filtered, I suppose, and more kind of from the heart.
So I might read into it myself.
And follow me. Anyway, yeah, that's this week's episode. Have a lovely week, and we'll chat to you next week.
Chat to you all soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.